friend.
My mom is well, and she's awaiting her hip surgery on the 19th, I believe, of February.
19th of February. All right. Continue to pray for Miss Jean Duncan. I know that I've been told that hip problems or like a broken hip, especially if she doesn't have a broken hip, but you understand what I'm saying, is one of the most painful places to hurt. So you pray for her. It's got to be uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to sleep. It's uncomfortable to sit. It's uncomfortable to do anything. So pray for her. Does anybody have a praise? God's been good to you. You've had a good Christmas, or God was just good to you at all. Yes, Miss Nikki.
I just like to say that God has been great to me.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Brother Jim.
God is always good.
Amen. Amen. Yesterday, I got a phone call from a lady named Star and her husband, Ray. They live up in Washington, D.C., and they got one of our tracts. And they said, I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to somebody right now. So tomorrow, a missionary friend of mine who's planting a church downtown D.C. is going to go with me, and I'm going to get a chance to witness to Star and her husband tomorrow at 11. So you pray. I'm taking Brother Brad Wells with us. Brother Brad is a like-minded missionary who's going to he lives closer to them than we do, and hopefully be able to pull them into their church once we lead them to the Lord. So 11 o'clock tomorrow, set a thing on your phone. We're to pray for Star and her husband. We're going to be witnessing to them. So that's kind of exciting. And you just don't know where your tracks are going to go. See, these tracks that we put out there, for those of you who don't know what those are, that's what these are. These things have the gospel on the back. This is all you need to know to get saved right here. How to trust Christ as your Savior. Number two, it's got the information to the church and the website where they can hear messages and find the gospel on our website as well. The gospel is really out there. And this, they picked up one of these. I don't know if they're going to tell me tomorrow where they found it. But they live up in D.C. and they picked up one of these. I've had people call me and said, I found your track and I got saved. You just don't know what God will do with it. Get them out. I leave them in restrooms. I leave them in restaurants. I used to leave them in phone booths, but I haven't seen a phone booth in 20 years. Have you, Brother Jim? I almost invested in pay phones, Brother Jim. That's one of those things. Yeah, I know. I almost went beta instead of VHS, too. Would have messed me up. But the thing is you pass these out. Restaurants, the bank, places. I give them out as I have business cards, but I give them out like business cards. Here you go. Here you go. This is us. We're the church in your neighborhood. Oh, yeah. You need to talk to somebody? Put these in your purse or your wallet or your backpack. And if you've got somebody who needs to talk to somebody, Miss Mix and I are free and we are discreet. And we'll talk to folks and witness to them, so as well as help them in the other ways. So, excellent. I want to say thank you to everybody who was involved in the Christmas Eve service. We had 95 candles, and we ran out, and we had a lot, and that was just for adults. We had some teens had a few candles, but mostly we'd run out, and we had teens, we had kids, and it was just three families from the neighborhood came for the first time. It was just a real huge blessing. Thank you for being a part of that. All right. If anybody else have a praise or a testimony before we get into the message tonight? All right, take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel 22. It's in the Old Testament. It's before dead center. It's about a quarter of the way through the Bible. It's after 1 Samuel and after Judges and Joshua. And it's before you get to Chronicles. It's before Psalms. Find 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to read verse 29 through 33. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Chapter 22, verse 29. We're going to do a little Bible study tonight. Have you found 2 Samuel 29? Say amen. All right, let's read it. I'll read the odds, you'll read the evens. For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. perfect. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come for you tonight asking for your blessing, asking for you to help us tonight. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be together as a family tonight, as a church family. We ask, God, that you would do great things because you're a great God. We look to you tonight to speak to our hearts at this moment as we walk the path. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled the sermon tonight, What Crisis? What Crisis? The funny thing is we all go through crises. And David was no exception. I mean, David had problems all the time. Look at verse number 1 of this chapter. It says, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies. He had enemies. He had people who did not like him. Sound familiar? And it says, and out of the hand of Saul, Saul hunted him without a cause, wanted to kill him because he was a rival and he was jealous. King Saul wanted to hunt down David. David wasn't even king yet. He was just a young guy. But look at verse 5. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, it sounds like David understood what crises are. Crises. I don't know if that's the correct use of the word. But he had crises in his life. Look at verse number 17. He sent from above and he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me. David felt like the world was just mowing him over. Have you ever stood out on the beach and those waves start coming in and they just start hitting you and hitting you? And every time you try to take a step forward, the waves of the ocean will shove you back 2 feet or knock you down. It's funny because I was that newbie the first time at the beach, at Virginia Beach, when it came through and it just knocked me on my rear. And I remember going down to Orlando. I think, I got this now. I got this. I've been to Virginia Beach. So I walk out to the wave, and the first wave hits me about the side, about the knees, and it just kind of shoves me back, and I'm still good. It hits me in the waist, and it wasn't too long. One hit me in the chest, and I fell over. You know, that's how David felt. The waters were just of trouble were just flowing over the top of him, and it's like he couldn't do anything back. He couldn't do anything to get out of it. You know, what was David going to do? When you think about the crisis of his life, what was he going to do? Where was he going to hide from it? And the real question is, was David's walk with God going to be enough to withstand the wave after wave? We all have serious crises in our life that come up. Actually, the average is every 5 to 7 years, you will go through a crisis of some kind. Are you spiritually fit to handle it? Whether it's a health issue or finances or relationships or family, or career, or just change. To some folks, change by itself is just a crisis to be managed. Are you spiritually fit? I mean, if every 5 to 7 years, that means if you start thinking back, when was the last crisis I went through? You can start to gauge. It's kind of like funny. We've got a dog. He's a worthless dog named Charlie Barkin. And we read on the internet that Basset Hounds live between 10 and 12 years. So in February, first week of February, Charlie's going to turn 10. So we're going to be like, you know, all right, how much longer we got with this one, right? How much longer? Because you think about it now. Is he getting sick? You start gauging it. Well, think about it. When was the last crisis you went through? If you, on average, go through one every 5 to 7 years, when was your last crisis? And based on that logic, when's your next one? Well, I'm in one right now. Well, praise God, you're about to get a 5-year respite once you get through this one. Are you spiritually fit for the crisis you're in or the crisis you're going to face? We all come up with crises. Remember the first crisis you ever faced as an adult? Think about it. The funny thing is the crises we had as teenagers, we laugh at today. They weren't really crises, were they? Brother, you know what I'm talking about, right, Brother Frank? It wasn't much, was it? Think about it. The crisis you had as a 16-year-old girl, was it? You laugh at it today, right? Our whole world was coming apart, right? She didn't like me. He didn't like me. We laugh about it now, but it was earth-shattering back then. Now think back to the first crisis you had as an adult. You were on your own. You were outside of your parents' house. You know what I'm saying? Think of the first crisis you went through. For my wife and I, it was the miscarriage of twins and their subsequent birth. And that we were on our own. We didn't live at our parents' house. We were on our own insurance. We were on our own money. We were facing this together. And I'd only been saved, well, less than a year. I'd been saved. That's it. Now, we've all had our fair share of crises in the past. You know, in John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We have tribulation. It comes up in our life. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's going to come up. You are going to have problems. You know, what's that old spiritual we used to sing, Miss Mix? It's troubles and troubles. All God's chillin's got troubles. Remember that one from Dunlap? We'd sing that. All God's chillin's got troubles. So where are you at in the? Are you at the way at this wave of crisis, or are you in the valley between it? Or are you facing the one that's coming? You just get out of one. What do you do? Well, David wrote this psalm. It's in 2 Samuel 22. He wrote this song, and it's a reflection on his part. He's reflecting on what God's done for him. See, when you look at verse 2 and 3, he says, instead of fretting, we should reflect on God. Look at verse 2 and 3. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Think of all the things God is to you. When you're in a crisis, you're facing a crisis, stop fretting and reflect a minute on the God who allowed it. He is your rock. That means he's that boulder you stand upon that's immovable. He's your fortress. He is the one protecting you. He's the one who delivers you. He's your shield. He's the one that knows what you're going through and is actually taking the brunt of the attack. You still feel it. Did you see that cartoon that was on Facebook last month? This guy's walking along and a rock hits him and he goes, "Ow." And he turns around and goes, "Why'd you let this happen to me, Jesus?" And there's Jesus holding back all these other rocks that are being thrown, and one got through. And he said, "Oh, did I miss one? I'm sorry." Think about it, who God is. He's the horn of my salvation. He's the power with which I live. He's my high tower. He's the one that is my refuge and my Savior. In verse number 4, he says, stop fretting and recognize him. Recognize and regard him in prayer and praise. Look at verse 4. "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." We sing that as a song, by the way. "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." You remember that song? This is where it comes from. He says, stop, reflect, and praise him. Look at verse number 47. He's still praiseworthy. Look at it. "And the Lord, as the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me and bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore." Now if you go through that section of scripture right there in verse 47 through 51 and take you a pen or a pencil and you underline the verbs, you find that it is God doing the work in our lives. He is the one actively working in your life. Do you see that? That's what he's doing. Miss Mix, Miss Meeks, there's somebody out on the floor. Would you bring them in, please? Thank you, dear. Look at now. Go back to chapter 22 and look at verse number 8. We're not only to stop fretting and reflect, we're to recognize and pray and praise Him. Then we're to stop fretting and remember. And rest. Rest in His sovereignty. Look at verse number 8. The earth shook and trembled. Now, we start in verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. Now, look at this. And He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because He was wroth. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and He was seen upon the wings of the wind. Look at this now. And He made darkness pavilions round about Him, dark waters, thick clouds. Listen, what happened was that David cried unto God, and God showed up. God stepped up and said, I'll take care of this. God came in and moved in a miraculous way. You ought to rest in God's sovereignty. God knows what He's doing. And it goes on to say many, many things on the way through verse 16. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the fountains of the world were discovered, and the rebuking of the Lord at the blast of the breath of His nostril. Rest in His sovereignty. Remember, we all go through crisis. But God has allowed this for a reason. So rest, He knows what He's doing. So David called upon God. He reflected on who God is, and he praised Him because he knew God was at work. Then look at the next section of Scripture here, verse number 17. You need to trust Him through it. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. That word stay means, back in Illinois, we'd had tornadoes. You ever been in a tornado? You'll get right with God if you're in a tornado. I mean, I had a man in my church in Arkansas. The tornado hit his trailer park, and literally he was laying in the hallway with his wife and kids holding hands, and the wind picked him up, and he's a big old boy, and moved him down the hallway and dropped him at the end of the hall. And the reason his trailer didn't blow away was because he had four stays. Stays are these long auger-looking pins that you screw into the ground, and then you take a 2-inch steel strap and you run it over the top of that mobile home down to another strap. It may disintegrate, but it won't blow away till it does. That's what a stay is. Now look at that phrase. It says in verse 19, but the Lord was my stay. He was my anchor pin. Even though I felt like the waters were rushing over me, I was pinned to the Lord. I was fastened to my God who is immovable. Are you in a crisis today? Have you taken a moment and reflected on who God is to you? Can you rely on Him? Can you trust God and rest in His sovereignty? Verse number 21, the Lord rewarded me. Now listen, yes, you need to reflect, you need to rest, you need to rely, but you need to stay faithful. You need to resolve to be faithful during a crisis. Look at it. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. When you're in a crisis, it's not the time to make life-altering decisions. Nor is it a time to run back to your old sinful habits and hide like it's going to change something. Drugs, alcohol, you think, well, I don't do that. Well, what about food? What about binge-watching entertainment? Going and hiding out from God in your bedroom, curled up in a ball. That doesn't fix nothing. Be faithful. Look at it. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. That means if David hadn't been faithful, God wouldn't have rewarded him. According to the cleanness of my hands, if he'd gone back to his old sinful habits, God wouldn't have rewarded him. Hath He recompensed me? For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. I have stayed faithful to what God wanted me to do. There have been times in my life where things just didn't go the way I thought they should go. There have been times in the ministry where things went terribly bad. You know what? Mrs. Mix and I showed up for church the next time the doors were open. We showed up for Sunday school the next time the doors were open. We showed up for soul winning on Thursday night when nobody else did. Didn't matter. I was serving God. I wasn't serving myself. When you're in a crisis, the first thing that goes is your faithfulness. I don't know what I mean. Well, I can't. Why can't you? Well, I'm just overwhelmed. You're going to be overwhelmed at home. You might as well be overwhelmed here with people who love you. You think, I don't know about that. If you're bleeding out your eyes and you're sick and you're contagious, feel free to stay home. But because you're out of money and your month is going badly, you need to be here. Because relationships have gone badly, you need to be here. Because your job has gone sideways and you're upside down or you're out of a job, you need to be here. You need to be living in a way that's favorable, that God will look down with favor and bless you. That's what you need. And David is saying, because I stayed faithful, because I didn't go back to my old sinful habits. Look at verse number 23. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I lived his word. I lived his word, and God blessed me. I lived his word. In a matter of a day, I went from 750 a week to 400 a week. With four kids and a wife. We kept tithing. We kept soul winning. We kept going to church. And God has blessed me for it. And I'm telling you, God blessed David and God will bless you. But the minute you stop being faithful, you won't see it. You won't see it till it smacks you in the head and you're going to come to me and you're going to go, why is this happening? I'm going to say, you didn't stay faithful. Listen, David said, God rewarded me according to my righteousness. So if my righteousness is junk, if I don't follow through, he's not going to reward me. According to the cleanness of my hands, if I go back to my sinful habits, he is not going to bless me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. If I haven't stayed faithful to what he's taught me, he's not going to bless me. Look at it. And have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me. I cannot stress this enough. Some of you are going to face a life-altering calamity in 2018. And the question is, are you going to be faithful? Anybody can sail a boat in smooth weather. Anybody can be a boxer in front of a heavy bag and nobody else is around. It's when life hits back, your character shines forth. And David said, I stayed faithful. And God blessed me. Therefore, verse 25, therefore, let me tell you something. God said, if you'll be faithful, I'll bless you. So that means if you're faithful, God will not owe you. He will come forward. He will pay up. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness. That means if David didn't stay right with God, God wasn't going to bless him. According to my cleanness in his eyesight, verse 25. Because verse 26 says, God lets you reap what you sow. Verse 26, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. That word upright means not the fact that you're alive. Upright means that you do what is right all the time. It's always right to do right. There's never a time when doing wrong is right. Do right. I don't care what happens tomorrow, do right. Well, they might take my house. Do right. Just do right. They may fire me tomorrow. Just do right. My family might break up tomorrow. Just do right. Because God said he is the one who's keeping score. And he'll bless you. But if you live in a way that's unfaithful or unright, he isn't. He's not going to. Now, I don't do this. I don't practice this way. But my friend Bob Gray down in Longview, Texas, before he would counsel a family, he would check their tithing record. You think, well, that's just, bless God. Well, if you're not right with God with your money, you're going to have problems in your family. And the number three, top three things that cause stress in a family is money, in-laws and exes, and the lack of communication. Because if you would communicate about your money and communicate about your in-laws and exes, they're still going to be influencing and interfering. But money is one of the top three things that destroys a family. And he knew that's why they were coming, because he could tell by their giving. He could tell by their attendance at church. Something was wrong in the family. He could tell. And you say, well, I just think that's just people being nosy. No, let me tell you something. I don't do that, please. I don't know who gives what. But do you understand? David was blessed because he was righteous. He did what was right. That was all. He wasn't perfect. He just did what was right. He followed God's will, even if it cost him. And God made up the difference. He says in verse 27, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. The word froward means somebody who's hard-headed and won't listen. Has to be right all the time. Is not willing to genuinely repent of their sin. God will show himself unsavory. You won't like God very much. That's what he's saying. If you are hard-headed, you aren't going to like him. Look at it now. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that they mayest bring them down. That thou mayest bring them down. So God says, David is saying, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reflect on who God is if you're in the middle of a crisis. Remember what he is to you. That you need to rest in his sovereignty. That you need to embrace the God who has allowed this. Number three, you need to rely on him and trust him. He's got your best interest at heart. He is working. Number four, you need to resolve to be faithful. Resolve. Just choose right now, no matter what happens in the coming year, I'm going to be faithful. Number five, you need to remember that God's way is perfect. Look at verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. Remember those past victories where God was there with you? By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. Brother Jim said tonight, God is always good. And God is always right. So embrace what God has allowed. Look at this. For as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. The word of the Lord. Here's the thing. The more you read your Bible, the more you get to know God, the more you trust God. Because you know what he's like. You know what he said. And the thing is, he's not going to let any of his promises break apart. If he has promised it, then he's going to come through with it. Now, he may not come through with it when you want it, but he is going to come through with it. People say to me, well, I need a job. When do you need a job? Well, you don't need a job between now and midnight. You need to be in church. That's it. Well, I need one soon. That's true. And God knows when you need it. Have you been right with him? Have you been doing your part? And my preacher always said, how many hours a day you want to work? And one guy said, well, I'm going to work 8 hours a day. Well, then you need to spend 8 hours a day looking for a job. Remember what he's done in the past. Remember the victories. Remember he's constant. Remember he's perfect. His character is without question. You know, David was positive about this. David knew God's character was without question. Paul knew the same thing. In 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for that which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know, David had faced giants before. In verse number 32, for who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh his way perfect, or my way perfect, excuse me. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness had made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me. So you go on down to verse 41, you find that God has been actively working in David's life, and he is now giving God the acknowledgement that is due. That it's God who's doing the work. David was positive. This is God working in my life. Reflect on who he is. Reflect on who he is. Praise him. Rest in him. Rely on him. Resolve to be faithful. Remember what he's done in your life. See, when you look back, you see the victories. You see the grace he's given you, the strength he's given you. He gives you the song of your heart. Reflection on God reinvigorates your faith because nothing happens to you by accident. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, the Bible says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You know, he has a purpose for you. But to make you usable, he will let you go through things. He will finish the work he started. In Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God makes things perfect. You know, he made the world perfect until man messed it up. Genesis 1:25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then man messed it up. God made marriage perfect, but man messes it up. Marriage is God's way. In Hebrews 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. The church is perfect, but man messes it up. Church, God's way really does work. In Ephesians 5:27, the Bible says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, God's word is perfect till man messes it up. In Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Remember, look at verse 33. God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. He's the one who makes us able. He's the one who has a plan for you. I need to learn to trust him. You know, life with God is not without purpose. Think of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Think of the crises he went through in life. He was hated without a cause. It wasn't his fault his dad favored him. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. As a slave, he worked hard. As a son at home, he worked hard. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar put him in jail. He still served. He still worked. He still gave of himself. And he was forgotten by the butler. Do you remember Joseph's victory? Now, automatically in your mind, you're thinking, there's his 11 brothers kneeling before him. That was not Joseph's greatest victory. That was not Joseph's victory. Joseph's victory was the acceptance of God's plan and recognition of God's power in his life. In Genesis 50 and verse 20, the Bible says he's talking to his 11 brothers. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph's greatest triumph, what gave him meaning in life and purpose in life, was not the fact that his brothers would someday bow to him. What kept Joseph from quitting when he was in the pit, betrayed by his brothers, was not that one day his parents would bow before him. It was the fact that he accepted God's plan and purpose for his life. David didn't quit in the pit either. He didn't quit in the valley of Elah as he stood before Goliath and his brothers heckled him and told him to go home. He didn't quit in the cave of Adullam when Saul was seeking his life. He did not quit at Ziklag when the Amalekites came in and sacked the place and took his wives and children. So what do you do when a crisis comes? What do you do? Because you know you're going to have one. If you're not in one now, you're going to have one. So what do you do? Has it ever occurred to you that God doesn't see crisis? God never has a crisis. God doesn't see crisis. God doesn't have crisis. You know, heaven doesn't get all freaked out when things go sideways. Nothing is a big deal to God. Because God is the biggest deal of all. Nothing happens to us by accident. I will admit that the majority of my problems have always been self-inflicted. Does anybody else identify with that? Anybody? I've created my own messes. And as I've gone along and I've given my life to the Lord, I've had fewer and fewer messes, but I still have them. But God will work them for my good if I'll reflect on who He is to me. If I'll rest on His sovereignty, if I'll rely on Him and trust Him, if I'll resolve to be faithful and right with Him through it, He'll make it right. Because I know I'll reap a blessing if I do right. And I remember my past victories and the fact that he is my constant. He is the one that keeps me nailed to the ground. It is him that I rely upon. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that, and we know that all things work together for good. Most people want to stop there, but there's a qualifier. To them that love God. That means to those who don't love God, things don't always work together for good. To them who are called according to his purpose. The fact that you were called to salvation, that you were called to serve him, to walk in newness of life. He has also predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son, that you might be, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we may be molded and shaped into his image. So embrace what God has allowed. Did you know God does not owe us an apology? Nor does God owe us an answer or a reason. Did you know that? God does not owe me an explanation. Well, when I get to heaven, I've got some things I'm going to ask him. No, you won't. You'll fall on your face and declare him as Lord and King and holy. That's what you'll do. And you'll do that day in and day out for eternity. For time will be no more. God does not owe me an explanation. He is the creator. I am the created one. And I will do as I'm told. But I choose whether I'm faithful or not. I'll choose whether I respond according to his word or not. I will choose. And if I respond the way he wants me to through his word, not the way the preacher wants, but the way the word says, he's honor bound to bless me and take care of me. He's honor bound to protect you and take care of you as you submit to his authority, as you follow his will. He will not be a debtor to any man. So God has let this happen. So don't fret. Trust him. He wants what's best for you. In Psalm 118 and verse 8, which is the very center of the Bible, listen to what God wrote at the very center of the Bible. He said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The center of the Bible is verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So trust him. He wants what's best for you. God is always good and God is always right. Embrace what he allows. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh and how God is made manifest through his weakness. Listen to what he told Paul about Paul's sickness. Paul was able to be used of God to be a vessel of mercy, to go and see people healed, but not himself. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So that I could keep my pride in check, God gave me an illness. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." I have prayed three times. And I'm not just talking about now I lay me down to sleep prayers. I'm talking about he fasted and prayed three different times for this to go away. "And he said unto me," speaking of God, God is now, he's quoting God the Father, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Me enabling you to live with this is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now Paul is speaking, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities," my sicknesses, "in reproaches," that's me being called out, "in necessities," that's having things I need, in not having it, "in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So don't fret. Don't fret. When David called, God showed up. And when you call out, David, like David did, God won't just show up, he'll show out. In Hebrews chapter 13, God said he won't leave us hopeless. Look at this, Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 5. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that it's not our life we're living anyway. It's God's life living through us. So we, during a crisis, should not try to play God, but let God run his own life instead of us trying to run God's life. Because you and I are bought with a price. It's his life, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says. We play God. We want God to change things. We want to live our own life. God's wanting to live through us. Let's let him. Job said in Job 13 and verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I am going to be faithful, is what he said. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. That means I say I'm a Christian, but I act differently. I'm quoting Job here. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I will take charge of my life and be faithful. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. I'm not going to play the hypocrite. I'm going to do what God says. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your eyes. Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Most folks don't know the power of faithfulness. God responds to it. Lastly, I want you to commit your way to him. You know, it's only a crisis if we face it without God. It's not a crisis if we're facing it with him. Because I think you and I get a lot more flustered than he does. And he knows what's going to happen before it happens and how it ends. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As you read through this entire psalm, it's almost a saying, you know, what crisis? You know, it looked big at the time, but now I look back and go, it wasn't anything. God was all over it. Our Father and our God, in the quietness of the moment, for the next few moments, God, we ask that you speak to every heart and every soul. You know what's going on in each life today. You know what's going on in the lives of the people on the internet right now that are watching us. Father, you know the struggles. Father, make yourself real. Show up and show out as you did for David and show off. Do great things. As we trust you, as we rely upon you, as we resolve to be faithful, I know, God, you will answer. Speak to every heart and every soul. If there's one among us tonight that's lost, that is yet to be saved, I pray, Father, tonight they would come and trust you as their Savior. Bless these dear people in Jesus' name. Amen. In the quietness of the moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, the altar is open, my friend. What's your crisis? Who is it you're going through the crisis with? You don't have to do it alone. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen to what King David said. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is tried. It means it's gonna stand and it's going to come true. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. Our Father and our God, we love you. And it is truly you who we put our faith and trust in. It is only you that we rely on. God, you are the only God there is. You are a prayer-answering God. And just as Mary said on the night Gabriel spoke to her, that you've seen our estate. You have looked upon the meager or mean estate. We're just nobody. And God, you look upon us and you love us. And that you regard us and care about us. Father, I am thankful for all that you do. I ask, Father, that you would bless each and every one of us tonight as we go our separate ways. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Be sure and shake a hand with each.